This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to the Remarkable Results Radio Podcast. I am your host, Carm Capriato. Just kidding. If you think Carm's voice sounds a little different, it's because it's me. It's Tracy, his daughter. I am taking over the podcast. I have two incredible guests that have also turned into amazing friends in the industry. So with me today is Sarah Frazier. She is the VP of Business Development and Client Services with her dad, Bill Haas, and they own Haas Performance Consulting. Hi, Sarah. Thank you so much for being on with me.
Hey, Tracy. Thanks so much for having me.
Great to have you on. With me as well is Kent Bullard. He is the COO of the Institute of Automotive Business Excellence with his dad, Cecil Bullard. Hi, Kent. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Very happy to be here.
Napa Auto Care Centers are recognized as an integral piece to what sets Napa apart from the competition. And the Napa Auto Care brand? Well, it continues to be fully integrated into the national marketing strategy by optimizing targeted media in local markets and in proven channels. Don't forget, Napa Auto Care Centers have an online presence on Napa Online with the Auto Care Locator tool, generating millions of views per month. If you're interested in partnering with Napa Auto Care and capitalizing on America's largest network of parts and care, talk to your Napa Auto Parts sales rep today.
Thank you both so much for joining me today. So, what are we going to talk about? What are Tracy, Kent, and Sarah up to? We are kind of thinking that we want to start a series of the younger perspective, the younger generation, the youth of our industry. This all kind of came about last year in November. It was Apex 2022. The three of us were in a camp meeting at Apex, and CAMP stands for the Coalition of Automotive Management Professionals. It is a group of automotive coaches and consultants for the industry. If you want to learn more about CAMP, you can visit their website at automotiveprofessionals.org. But we are all members. Carm and myself are affiliate members of CAMP, and we usually have a meeting at Apex every year. So all of us gathered in that were attending, and then we kind of looked at each other and realized that Kent, Sarah, and myself were sitting together. And then we look over and we see our dads sitting together. And we kind of just said, this is kind of like being at Thanksgiving where we are at the kids' table. And so we thought, hey, what if we did kind of a podcast episode about this? So here we are. We are recording our first episode. So thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to lead off with a question to the both of you. How the heck did you end up working for your dad?
I kind of grew up around the industry. My dad owned a shop as I was growing up, and then it was never anything I considered going into. He got out of owning a shop. He moved to Texas. He worked for ASA for a while. When I got out of high school, I went into property management, and that was kind of where I thought I was going to go. Ended up in retail for a while, and then 7 years ago, I took a job at a used car dealership and service center. I was actually with my mom trying to help her find a vehicle, and the owner knew my mother-in-law. And so we got to talking, and he was like asking me all these questions. And all of a sudden I felt like I was on an interview, and I was like, hey, are you looking for somebody to work for you? And he was like, yeah, I'm actually looking for somebody, you know, part-time, 15 hours a week, you know? And I was like, okay. So I took a job basically answering the phones. I ended up working there for 6 years. We grew from a very small one-man shop to a staff of 15 by the time I left. We took over another building next door. By the time I left, I was no longer working 15 hours a week. It was a full-time job. I learned QuickBooks. I learned payroll. I learned service advising. I learned basically everything there. I got my salesperson's license. I could do everything except for actually work on a car. So that was kind of my introduction into the industry. Really wasn't through my father, even though I had grown up around it with him my whole life. And then after about 6 years of doing that, I knew I wanted to do something different, but I didn't really know what it was. And so for about a year, my dad and I would have conversations and casually kind of come up like, how could this work? Is there a space for me in the company? What would I be doing? What would that look like? And then, you know, one day I was just thinking about it and I was like, I do social media all the time. I could do social media in the automotive industry. So that's how that piece kind of came in, was me helping out his clients with social media. And then apparently I went to see him speak in Chicago a few years back. And afterwards, I made a comment along the lines of, I could do what you do. And I don't know that that's how I said it, but according to him, that's how I said it. So a couple months later, he was speaking in Atlanta and he said, hey, come with me. I'm doing a class on millennials. I want you to come and talk about millennials and Gen Z. And so I did. And then it just has kind of gone from there. So it was never really like a formal invitation. Hey, I want you to come work for me. Or it was more me like, hey, how can I take this past 6 years that I've had in the industry and this experience and grow and move forward with it? And so I've been working for my dad now for, I think, just over 4 years.
Much like a lot of other automotive professionals out there, I feel like I stumbled in through serendipity. I was going to the University of Utah and I was just doing generals there. And much like my peers, I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. I didn't know what path I was going to take yet. I didn't know where I would plant my roots. And I was doing tech support for Verizon as a job. My dad, on the other hand, had grown his career. He was a prominent speaker, still is, and was consulting for a while. And he wanted to build something bigger than just himself. He wanted to make an impact on the industry. And he called me up. I remember we were talking. He was like, how's college going? And I said, it sucks. I wasn't enjoying what I was doing. It was just generals and I didn't like my job. And he said, I need a secretary. And I was like, I'll do it. I'm down. Let's go. And that's kind of where it started. I just came on and started doing the administrative work for the company and getting things organized. Because if anybody knows my dad, he's not the most organized person. So he needed a bit of help in that department. And it's just been more and more opportunities for me to learn something. I did video production because we started doing online training and education. I learned management systems. I learned marketing and websites. I got to learn firsthand how to do a lot of this stuff rather than go the traditional route of college degree, then move into the space of working. I kind of worked in and got my education that way. And I had the benefit of being able to learn from some of the best trainers, not just my dad, but it opened up an opportunity for me to speak and mentor with dozens of very intelligent and skilled people, professionals in this industry. That was a little over 10 years ago. Now I'm the chief operations officer for the company and, as of December, owner in the company.
That's awesome. Well, Tracy, how did you get to working for your dad?
My path is kind of similar, where I was outside of the industry. So I had worked in retail in two different capacities. I was a sales rep for Nabisco Foods. Then after that, I became a manager at a local retail boutique that also specialized in interior design work as well. Both of those roles, I really developed, not knowing, customer service experience. During my time working at the retail shop, my dad was starting the podcast and he started to really gain traction. He was adding more shows on. Right now, we are up to 8 podcast episodes a week with the Aftermarket Radio Network. So busy, busy. And I kind of approached him and said, I know you need help. Do you want me to help you part-time? I have no idea what audio is or what you want me to do. And he said, great, I would love that. So he had me start to edit his podcast. And I did that for about 3 years while working in retail. Then, we kind of started talking about coming on full-time. And initially I said no. He would always hint at it over the years. It would be great if we worked together full-time. And I said, no way. My mind, I thought, I have no automotive experience. I'm not a technician, mechanic. So how could I bring any value? And hopefully with this podcast, we are going to be opening the doors for the younger generation to really see not only the opportunity that the automotive industry has, but there are so many roles and jobs and careers in this field. So the three of us right now, we do not work on cars. But we are in the automotive industry. So there are a lot of different career paths that can happen. All right. So do you guys have any myths?
It's not just handed to me. Like, things aren't just given to me. Like, there was no job description pre-existing. There was no, this is what you're going to do. Here's a job that I've created for you. I've literally had to build it myself. Most of my clients were not necessarily just like, oh, here, now you have this client. I had to set up the calls and do my pitch and get them interested in what I was doing. And Yeah, I think that sometimes it's just people think, oh, well, you work for your dad, so that's why you are able to go and do these things. And I think there is definitely, it helps, like having that name and having people know who he is. But at the same time, it's not like this, what I do now was something that was created and just like, I was plopped into this position to do it. It was a lot of trial and error and creation along the way of figuring out the road and how it was going to look like.
And just to speak to that, I remember a little while ago, my dad were having lunch, as we do sometimes. And during those lunches, we talk business. He brought up something that struck a chord with me. He said, I've never been here before. He'd built businesses, automotive shops. He'd built, scaled them, sold them, that experience, but never a consultancy and never to the degree that we're at now. I think it hit me because I had to do the same thing. You know, you talk about nepotism. Honestly, I had to build my career path underneath my dad. It wasn't handed to me. He was first starting out with the secretarial stuff, and I saw opportunity. He saw opportunity. Really, what happened was he said, that's a great idea. We're going to do it. But that happened every time we had a good idea. And I had to be like, okay, which idea do we actually pursue here? So yeah, it's been an insane amount of work. And I feel like it's the same type of deal with people who work for their dads in automotive businesses. They feel like, you know, I'm here because my dad is, or my mom is the owner, and that's why I'm here. And it's, for me personally, it's been very stressful because I feel like I always have to prove myself to some degree. I do a lot of research. I do a lot of education. I practice to make sure that nobody ever looks at me and says, you're in that position because of your dad.
Like there's more pressure because of it.
Exactly. I think the misconception can be if you work for a parent, that's easy. You're going to be able to do what you want. And isn't that great that your boss is your dad? Well, you're never going to have to do anything. And the three of us, we work really hard and we work harder because of that. I feel like even more.
Not to be on like a pedestal, everybody. Hey, we don't.
Hey, we're millennials. We're allowed to talk about how awesome we are. It's okay. But to speak to that, like when I first came into the industry, we didn't really tell a lot of people that I was Bill's daughter. If I was submitting courses for, we have different last names. So a lot of people who didn't know me, unless they met us at an event together, you can pretty much tell when you see us next to each other that we're related. But if I was submitting courses to be considered for events and things like that, I wouldn't put on there like Bill Haas's daughter, when Sarah Fraser. So that's not connected to Bill Haas at all. So it was kind of in the beginning, we almost didn't want that, people seeing my name as his daughter, and kind of now we're very open about it and it's great. And I love to celebrate the fact that I'm his kid. And you know, but at first it was kind of like a little, weren't sure how we wanted to address it.
I wanted to be professional. I wanted to present professionally, especially because of my age as well. And going into business consulting, telling people who are a lot older than me how to start improving their businesses, right? I started with that, not trying to allude that I'm his son, that we're related in any way. And I didn't realize how much that hurt him whenever I would refer to him as Cecil in a meeting. Until one day he told me, he said, I'm dad. And that was it. I got it, dad.
With me, I didn't realize that people were going to assume I'm Carm's wife, which has happened. But now that I think about it, okay, you see someone with a younger woman who's Asian and has the same last name, must be Carm's wife. So I've combated that, but I am getting married this year and I plan on changing my name. And I'm thinking that probably will help the confusion a little bit.
Congratulations.
It just happens. It happens in automotive a lot, because even when I worked as the office manager in a shop, people thought that I was the owner's wife too. And there is a large age difference between him and I. So it's just, and I think it's because we do see a lot of husband and wife teams in automotive that there's kind of an assumption there, but it's never great to be considered somebody's wife that you're not.
NAPA is proud to have America's largest network of parts and care, with nearly 6,000 auto parts stores and over 18,000 auto care centers. In that spirit, the NAPA Auto Parts and Auto Care logos have a new look, carefully designed to be visually alike. This will further cement NAPA as the place to go for consumers when in need of vehicle maintenance. Now, did you know NAPA Auto Care was top rated in a national survey by consumers of car repair in the chains and independent repair shops category? These ratings were based on courtesy, timeliness, quality, price of repair, and percent of times the problem was fixed on the first visit to the repair facility. Napa Auto Care is the only banner program to make these ratings. Consumers are familiar with the Napa Auto Care brand, and you can benefit from their continued success. Your independent repair facility can join this network and be supported through Napa's national marketing by promoting your local repair facility with targeted media in local markets and in proven channels, allowing you to compete with a national presence by co-branding your locally known brand with the nationally recognized Napa brand using the Pro Image Auto Care Program. Also, partnering with Napa Smart Sign. Now, it educates your clients with engaging videos that tell the why behind a needed repair or service. You also get access to editable digital menu boards, template builder tools, social media feeds, and integrations with other auto care program elements. Napa also offers a credit solution to customers with Napa Easy Pay consumer financing with your business name embossed on the credit card. Napa also gives you an online presence when the consumers search for a local repair facility on Napa Online using the Auto Care Locator tool, which generates millions of views per month at no additional cost. From parts to care, from coast to coast, we are one Napa. Now, if you're interested in partnering with Napa Auto Care and capitalizing on the latest national marketing campaign, contact your servicing Napa Auto Parts store or sales rep.
What kind of pressure do you feel that you have, or maybe you don't have, but all of our dads are very well known in the industry. They're active in it. So Kent, I know you had alluded to, you feel that pressure of filling those shoes. What is that like?
Immensely. Definitely keeps me up at night, especially at this point. Maybe that's just because I'm still young. I'm not tempered as my dad is, and that'll probably come with age. But it's not just taking over for my dad or filling the shoe, because it's going beyond that. I'm at a point now where I don't just want to continue what he's already doing. I want to build upon what's already there and grow that and scale that. I want to impact the industry. I want to make a huge difference, because my grandfather worked himself to death in his shop, and he didn't want that to happen to anyone else. And so carrying that torch further is insanely stressful. It's a lot to balance. And not only that, but I not only have to manage my dad, but other people that are in his position. And so I'm not doing that. I'm managing people who do that. And it's a completely different ballgame. I can't go to him and ask him how to do some of this stuff, because he hasn't done it himself in this capacity. You know, we have open-ended, very partner-to-partner conversations about how we do that, which is great. I can lean on him in that regard, but I can't rely on the experience in this area. He hasn't done it either.
When I first started, especially speaking and training and presenting and those kind of things, my dad is a phenomenal speaker and he can talk for hours and he's really, really good at it. I love to present and I love to teach, but I do it very differently. I talk a lot faster. I have a different sense of humor. I just do things in a different way. And I think when I first started presenting, I felt like I had a lot of pressure and I felt like I had to look a certain way. I had to dress very put together and very, like, I remember wearing heels the first couple times I gave presentations, which now absolutely not. I will not do that. There was this like pressure that I felt like that I had to fit in this box. And then I learned, thankfully, within the first year that I really just needed to be myself. And I'm very lucky that my dad was always in favor of that. And you do things your way and you do what you're comfortable with. And if that means that I'm at a show and I'm wearing more of like a hippie dress and sandals versus a tailored suit and high heels, that's just me. And that's, I give my best presentations when I'm comfortable in my own skin, and learning to embrace that and stop feeling the pressure to live up to something or to be something that I'm not, because I'm not him. I have a very different style of doing things. We think very differently about things, which has actually been one of our biggest assets when we get to present together, because you get to see both sides of that. You get to see the way that we think about things differently and that we go about things differently. And that doesn't mean that one of us is wrong or that one of us is right. It's just different, and that's okay. I think at the beginning, I did have a lot of pressure. I do feel like the past couple of years, I've kind of let that go and just said, you know what, I'm going to do what I'm good at. And I've been really working on trying to build up my confidence and all of that. So that doesn't mean that the pressure has gone. I do definitely still feel it, but I think it's gotten easier.
I think about the phrase, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, that everyone loves using. And people may see us as daughter or son. They must be their clone. That's their exact replica. And really what I'm hearing from both of you and also how I view myself is, yes, we are related, but we also want to be our own person. And we are not going to be fitting, like you said, Sarah, into your dad's box, into Cecil's or Carm's exact replica. And people, I think, have this vision of you're going to follow in the footsteps and be the exact same way. And this is going to be great, but you're still trying to create your own path.
You know, to that, there's a bigger picture here. It's not just within our own, you know, what we're talking about with our fathers, but it's within this industry. Next generation is going to have to pave their own path. We can't continue to do things the way that it has been done. And I think that's becoming more and more apparent every day. And it's okay. We should be able to do things the way that we're comfortable with, the change, innovate, grow, develop beyond where our fathers got us.
Tracy, how about you as far as feeling the pressure? Is that something that you kind of had to work through?
Yes. Coming into this, my dad had 8 years under him, but also 30 plus of being in the automotive industry. So I think everyone saw me as great, Carm's little clone. And for me, it's an ongoing process to kind of see where I want to fit in. And really, I mean, I can't even believe I'm behind a microphone right now hitting record, because Carm has been trying to get me to record episodes. And for a while, I said no, because I felt like I didn't have the confidence. I felt like I'm not really feeling like I'm in the industry because I'm not a technician. And I've been able to let that go. At this point, when someone says, oh, you're taking over, you know, we have other aspirations and we're working through a succession plan that is changing and evolving, because I am my own person. Carm's his own person. And I think people might lump in Carm's passions are exactly what Tracy's passions are going to be. And I'm trying to find my own way as well. I think that's kind of important to stand on your own.
100%. And I think that's such a great reason why we're doing this and having this conversation. I think that's fantastic.
I mean, we should enjoy the process now. You're not going to be around forever. And as frustrating as it can be sometimes with my dad in particular, I'm definitely going to remember those lunches and those arguments and those stressful projects that we've worked together on. It's been unbelievably rewarding, and I couldn't have asked for a better relationship with my dad.
I completely agree. I mean, my dad and I have not lived in the same state since I was 16 years old, and we still don't, and we work together. So in the past couple of years, being able to go to conferences together and go to events and things together, I've gotten to see my dad and gotten so much closer with him in the past couple of years than I ever have been. And try not to cry on this podcast, guys, but it's been amazing. And it's a relationship that for a while never thought I would have with my dad. And it's something that I absolutely love. And yeah, like you said, sometimes it's hard and there's hard conversations, but it's also very rewarding and amazing to have that kind of work and family relationship.
A lot of people think we're probably crazy working with our dads. I would consider myself having a really good relationship with both my parents. And so for me, working with my dad, I didn't see it as, oh no, you know, we already had established really good communication. There's a big level of trust that both of us have for each other. I guess my next question would be, if someone is listening, thinking about, or has been approached by a parent, do you want to come work for me? What do you think about it? What kind of advice would you give them before they dive in headfirst?
Buckle up. You might have had a good relationship. I actually didn't really know my dad until I started working for him. He devoted so much of his life to saving the industry. I think he perpetuated the same thing that his dad did. And when I finally started working for him, I mean, all of that disconnection came together all at once in the first couple of years that I worked with him. I mean, there was tension, there was arguments, we were not aligned in our values. We had fights like you wouldn't believe. And it was because we both cared very deeply. We just weren't very connected in the sense of understanding one another. It took time to overcome that. If you're thinking about doing it, please do it. It is probably one of the most rewarding experiences that I have had. And I wish other people could experience that.
I agree. I think I'm probably somewhere in the middle of you two. Like, didn't have a bad relationship with my dad, but it wasn't like we were talking every day by any means, or, you know, where now we talk all the time. And just getting to spend time together, events, the after part, like going out to dinner together and those kinds of things has been just amazing. I would say if you're thinking about working for a parent, make sure it's work that you're going to enjoy. Because if it's something you're not going to enjoy doing, it's going to be a struggle, whether it's for a parent or not for a parent. That for me was why I wanted to get out of working in the shop. I knew I wanted to do something else, and I had to find the thing that was going to spark that joy and make me feel that I had some sense of purpose again. And I found that. And also just there has to be a level of respect on both ends. You have to be respectful to your parent, but they also, like, I'm so lucky that my dad is very open and respectful to my ideas and that we have good conversations. And even if we don't always agree, they're handled in a way that we're not screaming at each other ever. We can respectfully disagree on stuff. And this has absolutely been the best job I've ever had, being able to have that relationship with him. So I do think if you have an opportunity to work with a family member, if you are able to get along with each other and respect each other and do work that you're going to enjoy, absolutely do it.
Sarah, I didn't realize that I enjoyed the work until about 3 years in. So I didn't necessarily find joy. It was a job. I was working. But the cool thing was, is when I started, I got to start off doing some shop evaluations and visiting shops. And then 3 years in, I got to see difference in where we started with them and where we ended with them. And they've got a successful business. It's providing a life that is meaningful and fulfilling to them. And I was like, that's it. That's what I want. I didn't know what I wanted to do in college. I didn't know what I wanted to do in high school. And it took forcing myself into an experience to see that I could actually find meaning and purpose through service or any other position, but this is the one that I was handed. So that's how I came to appreciate what I do.
I had hesitation coming on board full time because I didn't know if I was going to enjoy this. It really took Carm and I having multiple discussions on what my role would be. We started mapping out what a year would look like, a calendar year. And he said, I would love to have you join me traveling to different conferences. And for me, I'm like, what is an automotive conference? I don't even know what that is. But I dove in and he really did say, and he believes this entirely, that it's the people. You are going to love the people. Trust me. I know you're going to love it. And here I am. I do. I absolutely love it. I have connections and friends all around the country. Now that we're going into like our slow time of no events in the summer, I'm like a little sad about it because I miss seeing people. I miss seeing you, Kent, and Sarah in person. But sometimes you don't know, but you just have to do it anyways. Little did I know it was going to open a huge opportunity to me. And I really noticed that I was listening to the podcast differently when this was my career. I listened with a different ear, and I have been able to listen to speakers and shop owners and technicians and coaches and consultants all around the country giving their advice to elevate this industry, to make sure no one's left behind, and to give leadership advice, culture advice. These are all things that anyone can find value in, 100%.
I love what you said. You said, Carm said, come for the people. You're going to love the people. And I think that's something that often goes missed. It's like, we're not an automotive industry. We're a people industry who fix cars. And whether your stepping stone is coming in as a service advisor or an administrator or as a podcast editor or as a secretary in this industry, that's just a stepping stone for a very fulfilling career with unbelievably passionate people.
I couldn't agree with you guys more. One of the very first events I went to when I first started working for my dad, he brought me to Vision, and I want to say it was 2019. I wasn't there to speak. We didn't have a booth. He didn't bring me to do work. I believe he was speaking, but he just wanted me to come and meet people and experience the event. And it was just very eye-opening, and the reception of people just meeting me and being so on board with the fact that I was coming to work for the company, and just have met so many phenomenal people in this industry. You know, the fact that your dad said to come for the people, that's amazing. Because I feel like that my dad bringing me to Vision was his way of kind of doing that as well. Like, come meet these amazing leaders in this industry, you know, and now some of them are my biggest cheerleaders, which is just, I love it. And you guys included. So
has there been anything that really surprised you either about the industry or about your dad's that you never knew? For me, my dad has always said, I get energized by people. And it wasn't until I came on board and we were at events and seeing his daily grind that's a real thing. And he's not just saying that because he's going to label himself as an extrovert. He really does get his energy from people. So it has been amazing to see that in person. And I guess for the automotive industry, and I know we already spoke about the people, but really, I didn't know how vast this industry was. I'm not just saying this because both of you have coaching companies, but coaching and having an accountability partner was something that was new to me. Shop owners have coaches, service advisors have coaches. Once you start getting really ingrained into that and what coaching can lead to and having that person that is going to be a fresh set of eyes, look at your business a different way, and also hold you accountable and push you, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I think that's a part of the industry that maybe certain shop owners don't have any clue about. The power of coaching and having someone, like you said, Sarah, in your corner.
One of the things that really surprised me that I did not expect was how much education is required to continually fix vehicles. New tech comes out constantly, new engineering, new vehicles, new tools. It is insane to me how much education is required for automotive technician to work. I remember when I started first writing classes, I was going to tackle millennials, and then I ended up not doing that. And then I think a year later you did, Sarah, but I was doing research on different industries, and it was like the medical field was up here as like the most aftermarket education that's required to do their job. And then the automotive industry was like right here. It was just a little dip. And then the next one was quite a big dip. It's insane.
I haven't really thought of any. I'm trying to think of something that surprised me. I guess when I was first starting to make me think about this, talking about millennials, when I was first kind of looking into speaking on millennials, when I was kind of like, we need actual millennials giving a voice to our generation and talking about how we think and how we feel and how we work and all of those things. And now Generation Z needs that too. We need even more younger people to come and give their voices.
This was an issue that I saw when I was looking into it, this stopgap. People who held onto their businesses because the economic downfall in 2008, COVID now, right? They had to rebuild and then COVID hit. I mean, they have extended their period of retirement back a year or 2 years or 3 years, and they didn't necessarily prepare for succession. And so now what's going to happen is it's going to be a very abrupt drop on the end, and we're going to have to catch up. There was something that we talked about at Apex when we had all three of us there. It's like, these guys are not going to be here for very long. So who's taking their places? Do we have people ready to be able to hold everything down when they're not here anymore? I mean, I just spoke about succession planning to a group last week, and it's still surprising to me how many business owners have not put together a succession plan, haven't identified who they could transition their business to or how they might transition into retirement. I mean, it's still such a huge issue. And I think that's kind of where this, I guess, kids table is headed, is how do we help that transition, right? What can we do? Who can we speak to? What things can we get in line to ease that transition as much as possible?
I completely agree, Ken. And any shop owner out there, and you're thinking of retiring and you have not thought about succession, you gotta start. Really, what advice that we hear in the industry is the day you open your shop, you should be thinking about your exit plan and what that looks like. All right. So Kent, now that we're on kind of the topic of what this series possibly could be, I think that, yes, we do want to talk about family relationships. We want to talk about the younger generation coming in, the challenges with that, attracting the younger generations. Are there any other topics that either of you are thinking about that needs to be talked about that we should do?
I mean, there's quite a few. The acceleration of technology, not just in tools, but in softwares, and the consolidation that's happening. I mean, the list goes on and on. And I think, again, it just kind of boils down to this big transition that's going to happen over the next 5 or 6 years. How do we prepare for it? The very experienced technicians, owners, professionals out there who are holding down the fort, making things run as best as they can, exceptionally well. They're very experienced. You know, I was talking to a shop owner the other day, and they were complaining about having to deal with guys who are coming out of UTI or these, you know, these trade schools. And they're like, well, they can't turn hours. And it's like, you're going to have to teach them how to turn hours. They're not going to be able to produce at your level coming out of trade school. I mean, they didn't either. I think that's going to be one huge hurdle that this industry is going to have to overcome, is all of these very experienced high producers are going to age out. So what are we doing to prepare the next generation to be high producers? so we can continue to serve our clients.
I think also topics I'd like to get into if we continue doing this is just being able to be a voice for younger people coming in, people working for their parents, millennials, Gen Z entering the industry, and being very transparent about things that we go through, as things like imposter syndrome, things like the pressure that we talked about, all of those different things that we experience, having anxiety and just real life and what that's like, and that you're not alone if you're feeling a lot of pressure working for a parent, or if you're feeling imposter syndrome, and things that we've done to work through that, and things that we've done to build confidence. And I would just love to be able to openly speak on some of those things that maybe we don't talk about as often.
So to our audience, if you're liking what you're hearing and you want to hear more, send us an email. So I will give my email out. It's Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y, at remarkableresults.biz, B-I-Z. I will also put Kent and Sarah's email addresses in the show notes as well. So if you have a topic in mind that you would love to hear us chit-chat about, if you would like to be a guest on our show, please send us an email. We're kind of piloting this. You never know, a network could maybe pick this up, but...
Do you know somebody?
No, but Spotify, if you're listening. I just want to thank both of you for coming on and kind of testing this out. We were talking about this for a couple of months, and here we are. We did it. We recorded it. I'm so glad to be here with you. So let me go around the room. Sarah Frazier, thank you so much for being here. She is the VP of Business Development and Client Services with her dad, Bill Haas from Haas Performance Consulting. And thank you so much, Kent Bullard, the COO of the Institute for Automotive Business Excellence, with his dad, Cecil Bullard. So thank you both so much for joining me. I had a ton of fun talking with you guys, but I always do. So I knew this was going to be fun and kind of easy to catch up and also put it on tape and put it out there for the world. So with that, thank you, Sarah and Kent, so much, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tracy, always good to see you behind the microphone.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.